we're going to do the New Testament reading, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 8. I try to read beforehand the whole chapter of 4, so I'm trying to get a context of what this is leading up to. So it is a letter from Paul to one of the churches. I'm not going to be saying I know what I think I don't know. But I do think that, you know, it's coming in a time where, you know, Jesus has passed. He's no longer with us. And we're basing off of information the apostles had, you know, put out. And so the people are kind of struggling with the life they're living to the life they should be living. Does that make sense? Like, you know, for us, we've never seen Jesus. We don't know what that lifestyle was. But we grew up in the 80s. From some of you, it's the 50s, 60s, 70s. So the time frame from then and now is totally different, right? Things have changed. So what we think we should be doing compared to what we should be doing is going to lead up to this passage, the Lord's about to say right here. So everybody's confused, you know, what about the one before Jesus? You know, what about them? Are they saved and all this? So please, I'm going to read it. I hope this is helpful. If not, I do apologize. All right. The coming of the Lord. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangels called, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Before I read the scripture today, I wanted to put us kind of in the mood or the frame of mind of what's happening. This scripture comes from Matthew 25, the very beginning, and it really is concerning weddings. Now, I know that when I say weddings, for some of us, that gives us incredibly wonderful feelings of weddings that we have participated in or your own wedding. For some of you, maybe not quite so much. I have to tell you that I have been privileged to officiate several weddings, but amongst them, there have been bats. Seriously, is that one of my friends got married years and years ago, and I wasn't officiating it, but in the midst of the wedding, her father came up, and he's stomping up front and kicking and stomping and kicking, and the priest was giving his homily, and so the priest just kept going, and at the reception, we said, what in the world? And it made Funniest Home Videos and won that year, which would have been 1997. The best that they can figure is that while her dress was hanging Friday night, yes, inside the crinolines. And so then as she walked down the aisle, she woke the bat up. And she said, I was standing there and I felt something hit my foot and there was a little bat on my foot. Her sister, the maid of honor, is deathly afraid of bats, and so she was backing up. Her father came up, stomped on the bat, kicked it to the side, and they just went on. If anybody has a better bat wedding story, please, I want to hear it because I'm collecting them. I have had so many interesting experiences doing weddings that don't involve bats. I learned very early on that when I met with a wedding couple when they came, I would say to them, please hear me say this. We want this wedding to be what you want it to be within the parameters of the church. And so even on the morning of your wedding, if you think, oh, why didn't we ask Laura to read this poem or say, you tell me and I will do it. If I can make it happen, I will. But hear me say this. I only take instructions from you two. This is your wedding. That served me really well until I met a mother of a bride who, through the entire rehearsal and including into the wedding morning, would come up to me and she said, I have to tell you this because Lisa told me to tell you that she gives permission to do this. I didn't fall for any of it. Weddings are fraught with emotion and love and anger and joy all at the same time. True? We always hope that it's the joy and the hope that overshadows. And I just saw this incredible wedding video from a wedding I officiated about 4 years ago. And it just brought back such incredible memories of that time together with them. Not only the day of the wedding, but all of the weeks before and the months that we did the planning. It just brought such great joy. Well, today's scripture is about a wedding. And as you can imagine, it's also loaded with tons of emotions. This is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' And then all of the bridesmaids got up and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the word of the Lord." Well, as I read this, and as I've read it through the years without really kind of fully understanding what was going on, and oftentimes, just like I did today, this lesson, this story is pulled out and stuck in the middle, and then we are left kind of trying to figure out how that fits in. It wasn't until a few years ago when I was involved in Disciple Bible study that I got even a better understanding of this story and why it's so important. The first thing to know is that this story is unique to the Gospel of Matthew. We don't see anything like it in the other three Gospels, but here it is. Jesus is teaching this not to a huge group, but Jesus is teaching and using this story only to his disciples. So in other words, this wasn't something that Jesus said like as part of the Sermon on the Mount or any of those times when he would preach and there would be hundreds and hundreds of people listening. This is like a training video. Does that make sense? I'm not sure I ever really kind of fully understood that until a few years ago, that I didn't know this was just for the disciples, because that gives us a better understanding. Jesus used this for them in a very private conversation. And we know that because if we go back to chapter 24, verse 3. It says, when Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will this be and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. And then the next couple of verses are Jesus talking just to his disciples. That helps me a little bit. Because I think if you say this to a group of people, some who do understand a little bit and some who are just brand new, they're going to say, well, that just doesn't seem fair. But he's using this with the disciples as a teaching tool. Let me teach you how important this is. Each time you proclaim my name, each time you try to get people to come and join us, this is why. We don't want to have these five bridesmaids who aren't included anymore. Jesus was teaching them. This is how we live to the end of the age. Now, from the very beginning, we have thought that the end of the age was going to be any second and any moment. And so we know now a little bit better that it isn't. But it still is so important because Jesus is saying, read, listen, and take it in. And as you try to explain to others, hang on to that urgency. We don't want anyone left in the dark. So this is how. We also know it comes at the very end of Matthew, and so Jesus doesn't have that many more days on this earth to talk to the disciples. And so the urgency builds and builds and builds. So let's take a look at it and see what we think. First of all, the bridesmaids. All of these weddings that I've done, and maybe weddings that you, your own weddings, maybe weddings you've attended, the bridesmaids have been the friends of the, well, that was pretty weak. Some of you haven't been to enough weddings, I can tell. They're usually all friends of the bride, almost all of them. And some of them are relatives and those kinds of things. But in the time of Jesus, the bridesmaids would have come from the household of the bridegroom. So these were all people from his household. We don't exactly know the relationships, but we know. And then in this story, the bridesmaids are all in two groups. We have the very wise ones. They're the ones that are prepared. They're the ones that say, well, you know what? There could be something, and I have to be ready. I want to make sure I have everything that I need. They didn't assume that they had enough oil in their lamps. They brought extra. And then the opposite of the wise bridesmaids were the foolish ones. And they didn't have enough oil. Now, I want to make sure that we see that it wasn't about sleeping because all of the bridesmaids slept. Remember, they were all waiting and they were all sleeping, and then somebody says, look, here he comes, and they got up and they got ready. So it's not about going to sleep. That's not it. It's about not having enough. It's about not having enough. So really, if we look at what this is telling us, it isn't about lamps and oil. It's about knowledge. It's about faith. It's about love. And those are the kinds of things that we can't just give to somebody else. I can tell you why I believe in God. I can live my life. When I make a mistake, I can get it corrected because I know that is what God would want me to do. But I can't give that to anyone. If anyone came to me to say, hey, can you give me a little bit more peace or grace? No, I can't. I can tell you why I have peace and why I have grace, or why I know I don't have enough grace and I need to work on it. I can explain that to you, but I can't just give it to you. This oil represents the tools that we need to live in all of the time before eternity. And none of us know when that is. Please hear me say this. These are not tools just to gain entrance into heaven. This is to teach us how to live in this time before eternity. Can we live in peace knowing that God will redeem us, that Jesus will come again? And so, this little story that seems to be about a wedding and seems to be about lamps and oil really is about how we learn to live wisely, how we learn to live and be at peace, knowing that God has taken care of us because we have that knowledge. It reminds us also, and this is hard, it reminds us not to put off, not to procrastinate, but it also reminds us not to prognosticate. I had a relative who was a pastor. He was a pastor in a denominational church, and soon the denominational church had to have enough meetings with him that they said, you know, you really are not following the denominational rules. He was doing things like having overnight meetings, and there was just a lot wrapped up in it. But mostly what he did was that he believed that if he could get people together, and if they prayed enough that Jesus would come back right now and we would all be saved. And sadly, there were so many people that bought into that. I can remember that every year around the end of December, 1st of January, he would hold a huge meeting at a hotel in Indianapolis, and they called it the waiting. And he believed that if he got enough people gathered in and they were praying hard enough, that Jesus would come back to them in that spot and place. That's prognosticating. I'm going to tell you the future. I'm going to tell you about how the things that are happening in this world are leading to the end of the world. I'm going to tell, and it's been around for generations and generations and generations. And when this relative of mine would prove not to be correct, he would say, oh, you know what? I was reading and I was praying and God told me that I just didn't read this passage correctly. It's not this year, it's next year. And he had a reason for why. And as much as I know, I truly believe that this relative of mine who died several years ago, I believe this person is in heaven with God. And I believe he's kind of going, oh. Because that's not what gets us entrance into heaven or keeps us out. However, what does is our love of God. And God gives us the tools that we need to fill our lamps with the good things this side of heaven. With the good things this side of heaven. A piece of that is today, of being gathered together in a group that believe in God and believe in Jesus and believe in how much God loves us. That is such a huge piece. God created us to be a communal people, and to learn from each other and to help each other and to be there for each other. And this congregation does it so well, just like so many other congregations around the world. I feel so blessed to be in here. I want to remember that I need to stay wise and to fill my lamp with the oil of the good things this side of heaven, the love of God, the peace of Christ, the joy of being in community and sharing love. That's what I want to remember. Now, in this story, that oftentimes we kind of focus on the bridesmaids and the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids, and you do this, that, and that's exactly what I've just done, isn't it? However, the key figure in this whole thing is the bridegroom, who is Jesus. The bridegroom in this story is Jesus. And Jesus said over and over, "You will not know the time of my arrival. You will not know." That's why Jesus said to the disciples and to everybody he met, "Be ready. Show hospitality and show love and invite people into your fellowship so that we can all be ready, because we do not know." In this year, we think of all of the time that people have decided that this will be the second coming of Christ. We think of the people that have sold everything to go to a high mountain because that's where Christ will come again. And again, I want to say, it's not that God is saying, "Are you kidding? No, you don't get entrance into this kingdom." But God is saying, use our time on this earth wisely. And let me tell you how. You do it exactly the way that Jesus did. You love each other. You spread the word of love and hope and peace and grace. And you're compassionate. Jesus said over and over again, "You will not know the time or the place." It doesn't mean that he won't come, but it means that when he does, the party will continue. The party didn't start, the party doesn't end, the party continues. That Jesus says, this is how you can live with joy. This is how you can live with love. So, for those of us who are in the midst of life right now, which is every single one of us in this room and our friends and our relatives and our neighbors, we know that in life there is joy and there is pain. We can celebrate in the joy and we can pray with each other through the pain. We know that there is ease and there is adversity. We know that. We know that there is intrigue and the things that stimulate our brains and minds and lives, and there is boredom. God created both. And we could go on, and my guess is you have a lot better examples than I do. God created them both because there is a time for both. There is a time to weep. There is a time to mourn. Remember that? And instead of saying, "Oh." Now, I'm not saying that we don't say to God, "Please, dear God, I'm not sure I can go on much longer. I'm not sure I can take this, whatever this is for you, much longer." And God says, be like the wise bridesmaids. Be ready. Make sure you have plenty of oil. Be ready. But in the meantime, let me just help you. Keep your light shining. Keep your light shining wherever you are. Continue to be in community, because there is joy in community. There is safety in numbers. Study and pray. Read the scriptures. Read the things that God gives us to teach us, and never cease praying. Show deeds of mercy to those around you and to those you don't know. Welcome strangers in your midst. Offer forgiveness to those who hurt you. Spread justice and peace. See, we have plenty to do. We don't have to keep track of when Jesus might come back, and maybe it'll come in our turn. I understand that sometimes, because I've said this prayer, you know, Jesus, if you came today, I'd be just as happy. Haven't you been there? Jesus, you know, I just about can't make it. And Jesus always sends hope. Sometimes it's in a scripture. Sometimes it's in the smile from somebody you don't expect. Sometimes it's in a pleasant word from a stranger. Sometimes it's just being together on Sunday mornings to say we worship God because God created us and God sustains us. And we are so thankful to be here. It's not that we know better than all the other congregations. It's that all the congregations together say, we love God, we love Jesus, and we want to work together to help other people know the peace that we have. Well, I think we've seen it. I think we've seen in this passage that God asks us to be prepared, but not to count the days. That God asks us to share our joy, but we can't share our faith until we say the words, until we demonstrate it to other people. And God says, please know that one day we will all be transformed and we will all be reconciled to God. That day when God says, here we are, and now the party can begin. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.